Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming out on a relatively cool day here in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the panel on exciting panel on collaboration between the World Federation of Public Health Associations, the Canadian Public Health Association, and APHA. This is our joint session. My name is Omar Khan. I'm the chair of the program committee for the International Health Section of APHA. I'm vice chair of the Science Board, also serving the Publications Board. And very pleased to welcome several of my colleagues to the session. The moderator is going to also be our first presenter, so I will simply introduce Jim and I will let him take on the duties from there. James Chauvin is the Director of Policy at the Canadian Public Health Association, and particularly relevant to this session is President-elect of the World Federation of Public Health Associations. So please welcome our panel.
Thank you, Omar. Good morning. He says it's, what was the word you used for the weather here? You said it was?
Crisp, perhaps.
Crisp, okay. For Canadians, this is spring, so this is okay.
No,
we don't have a bad reputation, come on. Anyway, it's a pleasure being here with you, and thank you very much for coming out at 8:30. And what we'd like to do is share with you some of the work of the Canadian Public Health Association on our global health program. And our flagship program in the international sphere is called the Strengthening of Public Health Associations, or the SOFA program. And what we are doing here, and I'll go into it in a bit more detail, but this is where we are helping young, emerging public health associations in other countries get on their feet and build their organizational and programmatic capacity. And we've been very fortunate to be doing this for the past 25 years. And what I'm going to do is be sharing with you what we've done and some of the achievements and lessons learned and some of the challenges in going forward. So I'm very happy to be able to do this with you. Now if I can just, oh, there we are, good, all right. And I have no relationships or conflicts to disclose, although when my wife saw this, she was quite upset. She said, well, we have a relationship. It says no relationships to disclose, so I do have a wife. So just to give you an overview of the presentation, I'd like to just briefly talk to you about what is a public health association. And of course, with APHA, you're all members. You know what a PHA is, but this is an exercise we go through with colleagues when they're first setting up a public health association. A bit of background about the SOFA program, its objectives, activities, partners, example of some of the activities that our PHA partners are involved in, some of the results and lessons learned, and then some conclusions. And for us, advocacy is the core function of a public health association. That's what we try to get across to people. What you're trying to do is influence policy and practice in your own countries in a context-specific way. So it's really the core of what we're doing is helping them put together their evidence, and then taking that evidence, how do you put that into policy or practice frameworks and then actually have an influence? So the characteristics of a public health association for CPHA and our partners is that they are voluntary associations. In other words, the membership is voluntary. We don't accredit, we don't license. You want to be a member, you believe in public health, that's why you're a member. And you're going to be able to give some of your time to the association. They are membership-based, and some of our public health association partners are quite small, others are quite large. Multidisciplinary, this is one thing that we really focus on, because we have had some partners, for example, our colleagues in Turkey, the Turkish Public Health Association, was born out of a public health nodule, if you will, within the Turkish Medical Association. So it started out as being all doctors, and that was fine, but they went right out, and the first thing they did was they joined with the Turkish Nurses Association, so they got the nurses in, and then they went out and got the rehab people in. So it became very multidisciplinary, and that's what we're trying to achieve. Multi-sectoral, that's the other thing, of course, is, as you appreciate, we're trying to get across to them. They need to be reaching out to other sectors that have an influence on public health. And then what we're trying to achieve here is a major, independent, non-governmental voice for public health and health equity. That really is the be-all and end-all of what we're trying to achieve, is a strong civil society voice for public health. And worldwide, there are about 70 active public health associations around the world, some more active than others, some larger than others. But at the moment, the World Federation, we have about 70 members. So the contribution of public health associations, first, we believe it's to reinforce and enhance civil society's capacity to influence public health policy, programs, and practice. And that, to us, is the major contribution of a public health association. We also want to raise the level of awareness and understanding about the concept of public health and its impact on human health and well-being. And I don't know in the US, but in Canada, I think one of our major challenges is with politicians. They seem to have a very short attention span, but other than that, the one thing we find is that they do, though, they don't really understand the concept of public health. And in Canada, as you know, we have a single-payer system. It is a publicly funded healthcare system. And what our politicians do is they use the term public health to mean the publicly funded healthcare system. And so we're trying to get across and look at, if you're going to talk about the publicly funded healthcare system, call it that. Public health is a different animal. And so it is an education thing as well. And then multidisciplinary independent forum generating sound evidence for discussions and actions. That's another characteristic or contribution of the public health associations, is getting people, convening people together to do this. And they are a catalyst for change, and some of the examples I'll give you later I hope will show this. So SOFA, the Strengthening of Public Health Associations program, began back in 1985 under a different name. It went through different iterations. And we've been providing technical assistance to public health associations in over 30 locations around the world. We've been providing financial and technical support to help the public health associations to take leadership and advocate for public health and primary health care. That was another major issue for them. And also promote and support public participation in health issues, discussions, and actions. And we're very grateful. We've had 25 years of support from the Government of Canada, which has been amazing. And unfortunately, our current phase ends on December 30th, and the Canadian International Development Agency last year changed their funding modality, and unfortunately the SOFA program will no longer be funded. It doesn't fit with the new modality, so that we're losing our Government of Canada funding for this initiative, which is too bad. So where has SOFA been? Well, these are the countries where we've helped create public health associations, and as I said, it's over 30 countries around the world, locations as well. And we're quite excited about this. We've been in, as you see, Cuba, Haiti, Turkey, the Palestinian territories, Mozambique, Malawi, Tanzania. The eight current partners are in green. I hope you can see that on the screen. If you'll see Nicaragua, Haiti, Mali, Niger, Cameroon, Congo, Malawi, and Mozambique. And actually, we're quite excited. APHA has very generously accepted to be part of the evaluation team to go out and evaluate some of these partners at the end of the current phase of SOFA. And Omar and Dr. Paul Freeman are the two APHA members who will be going out as part of our evaluation team with a Canadian and a colleague from the Uganda National Association of Community and Occupational Health, which is their public health association. So we're really excited about this APHA, CPHA, Uganda evaluation team going out. So the current phase, 2006 to 2011, our goal is to reduce poverty and promote sustainable development through public health associations. And the theme that our partners chose for this five-year phase was strengthening the public health workforce to achieve the Millennium Development Goals. And then our objectives, you'll see here, was to develop the capacity of the public health associations to do these four functions, if you will, to be effective national public health associations. They take a leadership and advocacy role for health. They promote and support the broad participation in health issues. And then they build the partnerships and alliances with other organizations and professional associations. So as I said, we're there to help build their operational capacity as well as their programmatic and performance capacity. And this is not a short-term activity. On average, we find it takes 10 years of continuous support to help launch a public health association where they're on their feet and they graduate and are able then to take over their own work and also start mentoring new public health associations. So these are our expected results from the SOFA program, and of course we have to fit this into a logical framework, logical analysis framework for CEDA, which sometimes is difficult, but it works. And our mechanisms basically is, as I said, project financing, but actually it's very modest what we give to these organizations because we do appreciate their absorptive capacity as new associations. And for them, $10,000 or $15,000 is a lot of money to handle at the start. And we gradually build this up over time. The Canadian technical assistance, because it's funded by CEDA, we are only able, what I have to say is CPHA has to give an in-kind contribution, a matching in-kind contribution. And we do this by sending Canadians over as technical advisors, and all of them are volunteers. So we're able to monetize their time as volunteers and then count that towards the in-kind contribution. But unfortunately, CEDA only allows us to count the in-kind value of Canadians. All other people don't count. We're very sorry. But we've had this discussion with them before, but they won't budge on it. So only Canadians have value, so I'm sorry about that. The mentoring by LASOFA graduates is a big issue, and one that's really exciting when we see some of our graduates who actually turn around and then they're helping the other public health associations, and that's wonderful to see. And then, of course, the international collaboration across different organizations. So these are the eight partners of the present SOFA program. And just a few examples of some of the public health association interventions. Malawi is doing a lot of work on water and sanitation in poor peri-urban areas of Mzuzu, which is the north. Our Mozambique partners are training the community health promotion volunteers. Congo, where Paul will be going, are looking at community sanitation to improve domestic waste management in a poor urban neighborhood. And in Niger, it was dissemination of health promotion messages through the community radios in rural regions. So each one, as you'll see, they pick a certain area that they think they can make progress on and influence both, as I said, policy programming and practice. And some of the technical assistance that we've provided, and we've sent out about 50 Canadians on different missions over the 5 years, which has been great. But again, a lot of it is very organizational based. It's looking at how do you do an organizational strategic plan? How do you do a governance structure and governance processes? How does that work? Looking at accounting and financial management, a huge issue for a lot of these places. Management of websites. How do they write proposals? Because once our funding is done, they've got to go out and market themselves. So how do they get out there and do it? And so it was really quite exciting to see this. And as I said, in terms of the international collaboration and mentorships, the very active participation in the World Federation of Public Health Associations, and they all become members of WFPHA through us, and then they continue that on their own. We also helped create two African networks of public health association, the East Central and Southern Africa Public Health Association and the Réseau des Associations de Santé Publique en Afrique Francophone, the Francophone Africa Public Health Association Network. Both of those have morphed as of September this year into the African Federation of Public Health Associations, and so we're quite excited that they've come together and created their own federation, and they'll be affiliated with WFPHA. Then some of the examples of the mentoring, Malawi, Uganda was mentoring Malawi, Costa Rica mentored Nicaragua, and Burkina Faso mentored the public health associations in Cameroon and Niger. So this is what we feel are some of the characteristics of an effective public health association. I won't go into them all, but by the way, if anyone wants a copy of my presentation, I'm happy to share it with you. So maybe I can leave a piece of paper in the back and people can just note their email or give me your card. Also, I just wanted to say, in honor of our 25th anniversary, we did do a publication on the 25 years of the public health movement, and that's in the back. I put it somewhere up there in the back, and there should be copies. There you are. Good. Please take them all. I don't want to take them back to Ottawa. So. Some of the challenges, just very quickly. Limited members volunteer capacity, and I think this affects all of our public health associations, whether it's the APHA, CPHA, whoever. And, you know, it's having our members get the time to put into the association, but it is amazing when we see the membership input, and it is quite significant. But there are a lot of competing needs in developing countries, and so people don't always have the time. The fragility of the NGO culture and lack of space for civil society, this is a huge issue that our colleagues always talk to us about, and you'll be getting into this, Erica, in your presentation about some of the policy work, and they say, well, how do you walk that fine line at CPHA where, you know, you might critique the government, and then isn't the government going to punish you by withdrawing the projects that they're supporting, you know, or are they going to shut you down? Because this is what happens in their countries, and it has happened on a few occasions where some of the public health associations have been warned or been muzzled, and so it's, you know, it is a big issue for them. The absence of enabling policy and legislative environments, this is a huge issue for them, not only on their public health association, public health issues, but also as public health associations. If there is not legislation around NGOs, how they function, their charitable status, this can be a problem for them. Also, the lack of secretariat support and paid staff is a huge issue for them, and limited absorptive capacity, as I mentioned. Limited funding sources and opportunities, crowded territory, and this is I'm not going to make a critique of the larger PBOs, as you call them, or the NGOs such as CARE and others, but when you're in a certain country and you've got these large international organizations, the donors tend to go to them rather than going to the local organizations, and that's a huge issue. that we've been dealing with and trying to advocate that they fund the local public health associations as well as funding the other organizations, but look at the local ones first because we do want sustainability. And then public health is invisible. We all know this. When there's an emergency, all of a sudden everyone wants us. But between the emergencies, they seem to cut off our funding legs and then somehow imagine we're going to be able to stand up and run around and do wonderful things when the emergencies arise. And it's the same in these countries. So some of our lessons learned, just to wrap up here, that creating strong working relationships and organizational capacity, credibility, it requires time and it's a very labor-intensive process. As I said, it's 10 years on average per public health association, and it is a hand-in-hand partnership. We are equals and we make it work that way. Developing leadership within a public health association is very critical to seize these opportunities, and usually what we find, it's one individual who takes that lead of creating the public health association and builds a body of people around him or her. The problem, of course, is the identification of the individual with the association, and if that person dies or leaves or is transferred out of the country, sometimes there is a risk the public health association will fail because all of that energy has been in that one person. So how do you do a, passing on of the torch, the succession, sorry, that's the word I was saying, succession planning almost for in terms of governance. Working closely with ministries of health and other NGOs to strengthen the capacity of local health institutions, and that's very important, and taking a community-based approach. And we define community beyond geography. We're looking at the community of people, however that might be defined, whether it's certain marginalized groups or certain specific populations. And you have to really be working with them and listening to their voice and representing their voice honestly. And then PHAs must deliver tangible benefits of membership to their members in order for the members to see value and keep supporting them. Just very quickly, some of the spin-off initiatives we've had out of the SOFA program, we've had several public health associations involved in another CPHA-managed initiative called the Canadian International Immunization Initiative, and the public health associations have done some amazing work on immunization policy and practice in their own countries. We have a small project through the International Development Research Center on investigating the factors that affect immunization dropout and failure to vaccinate children. Several of our public health association partners have been very involved in tobacco control through IDRC and CDC. We've been working with PAHO on how do we enumerate and characterize a public health workforce, and some others here. So we're really quite excited about some of these spin-off initiatives. There is information about SOFA on the website. I've got the 25-year publication here in the back. And just wanted to mention as well, I put up the Journal of Public Health Policy because in the most recent issue, there has been an independent review of the SOFA program done by two Swedish public health, eminent Swedish public health people, and they wrote it up in the journal, so we're quite proud of this. So I would suggest you look at that if you'd like. So thank you very much. And these are our colleagues in Niger, by the way, of the Public Health Association. Thank you very much.